call to Mr. President.
Yeah. Good morning, sir.
What's new today before I take off?
Well, I think
the market stayed up again.
Market went up very well at the end of the day on some very heavy trading. And I just had a fill-in from Herb Stein on the economic report. He was talking at our 8:15 meeting this morning.
Oh, yeah.
He sent you a series of memos, but I think he's a little more bullish talking about it than he is in the memoranda. The uninsured employment numbers have declined again in January, which indicates to me that when we get our figures tonight on the January unemployment, we may get a break. They'll be announced this Friday. This week should show us hopefully another good month. If it does, I think maybe we're on a trend that that we can sustain. Politically,
5.9 now, aren't we?
5.9, yes, sir. And we get a little bit of a seasonal adjustment break this month also, and that may help us. But I'll have that figure by between 5 and 6 tonight.
Yeah.
The items of interest politically, the New Hampshire situation continues to be a very interesting last week.
Yeah, they're beginning to heat up, huh?
They sure are. The 150,000 letters went on a write-in for Teddy Kennedy this week.
Anybody heard about it yet?
Oh, yes, sir. There's quite an article in the Washington Post about it this morning. And
Kennedy deny it?
Yes, he's disavowed it. But the Broder piece in this morning's Post, it's an inside story. It's not front page yet, although I think it will be. On the inside story, let's see, I have the damn thing right here. Primary campaign gets out of New Hampshire, and Democrats in New Hampshire feel that the letters will draw a significant response, which I think they might. There's a press conference being held up this morning by a group of prominent Kennedy supporters who are going to stay up there campaigning for him over the weekend.
Mm.
And apparently Muskie's in some real difficulty over the Canuck remark and over the losing self-control. He really...
It's interesting that McGovern took him on it. That's almost unheard of, you know.
Well, McGovern took him on it, gently, but Hartke took him on it very hard, and Dole hit him on square on, but all three of them hit him. And
Hartke took him on hard?
Hartke took him on saying that he just was unstable. I mean, he took him very emotionally unstable, and McGovern...
It's a rough charge.
Oh, it is. McGovern implied it, and they're all apparently convinced that he has alienated the French Canadians, which, of course, are the biggest ethnic group in New Hampshire, by calling them Canucks. I gather that some of the prominent Democrats up there who were with him have switched. Clark McGregor saw Wilbur Mills yesterday, and Mills
is running a write-in up there for himself, isn't he?
Yes, and a very well-financed and well-organized write-in. Mills said to Clark yesterday that he thought he, Mills, would get 20% of the vote. Now he thinks he might get 25 or 30. Of course, that's...
Jesus, he'd never do that.
No, that's way out of line, because he just isn't known.
He might get 10.
If he got 10, that would be a...
Be very significant.
Very
good.
Very significant.
Yeah.
So that remains a very, I think, a very volatile situation. I've heard from my folks up there who said that... In the last, 2 weeks ago, they would have given Muskie a solid 70%, that 65 to 70, 65 minimum. But now they figure he'll do well to hit 50. And if they're reading it correctly, which one never knows, that would be quite a very significant come down for him.
You already doing anything?
Well, he's getting the Loeb. Of course, he's getting the Loeb support, and that's going to give him, 5, maybe 6, 7, in that area. He's campaigning hard, and...
Is he?
Yes, sir. He's up there all the time. He's got a bus going around the state, and...
I'll be damned.
You know, that's such a difficult place. The agonizing part of it...
I've done it. Jeez, it's just unbelievable.
No, it's awful. And
Nashua and... Over and all our good God, it is really a helpful place.
Well, and the people are so damn provincial. Vice yeah. President, that they want to see the candidate in the flesh. Or,
and you got to shake their hands and see them and do every stinking little coffee clutch thing there is.
That's right.
It is unbelievable.
One of the things that really encourages me just to, in terms of the long pull through the next 8 or 9 months is that McCloskey and Ashbrook just are going nowhere. Apparently they're fizzling in New Hampshire. And from all indications, and I take great stock in that Becker poll in Massachusetts. That just absolutely startles me that we are as strong as that in a state where there have always been 100 to 150,000 Republicans who are very liberal.
Yeah, I know.
And I just thought if there's one state where McCloskey would have made inroads, and he's had some people working for him in Massachusetts, but he's got nothing. The polls just give him a complete zero. The interesting thing on Muskie's campaigning, I've had reports Doug Hallett has young people around who have been working in various campaigns who were friends of his at Yale, and he's given me reports. Two, three reporters have given me similar reports. Muskie simply can't handle it under pressure. He blew up in a high school up in Keene, New Hampshire, and stomped out when a student got up and read a written question. And Muskie said, "I don't like people who have to have written out questions." And the kid then said, "Well, I don't like people who can't answer questions." And a big cheer went up, and he just left. And the reporters are telling me the same thing, that his emotional outbursts at Loeb just have left his staff staggered, that he's surprised them by acting as...
You know, we all heard Mrs. Margaret Smith has always said that he was hot-tempered, you know.
Oh, he's a hell of a hot-tempered guy.
And, you can't... But the press has done him a great disfavor by making it appear that he was unflappable. And now when he does break, I mean, he'd get away with some of this if he hadn't had... But the press... They created the problem for him. The bastards wanted to help him, and now they're hurting him.
Exactly right. They had him the cool, calm, collected fellow. I think it's more than temper. I think it's just that he cannot operate well under pressure, and that's his vulnerability. Yeah. And as Harris pointed out to me this week, this is beginning now. This personality characteristic is beginning to show up. Just a trace of it in the profile. And he doesn't have to do much more of this before that'll build as an image. The one thing, Harris made a very interesting observation, the one thing that Muskie has had going for him that's held him up in the polls, and our polling people at the committee say the same thing, is that the public has no real perception of Muskie. They don't they don't think much about him, or they don't know much about him. He just looks pretty good and moderate, and therefore he picks up the normal Democratic allegiances, and since they outnumber us...
They're not against him.
Not against him, but he's beginning to build up the traces are beginning to appear of a flaw in his image, and he's unable to take, apparently, is the pressure from the right on the one hand, where Loeb and Jackson Wallace are just kicking hell out of him, and the pressure from the left, where... I don't know whether you heard about it, but there were half-page newspaper ads all over the country last week from one of McGovern's contributors demanding that Muskie disclose all the sources of his campaign financing.
Well, oh, yeah. McGovern did, didn't he?
Yes, sir. And that just, apparently that has just driven Muskie wild, because he, once again, the press built up this image of trust me. You know, and here he's saying, you trust me, but I won't tell you where I got my money. So he's being squeezed very hard on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gallup shows Humphrey gaining in the national poll. There was one that was released while you were away. It was an awful small sample base, so I don't really know how much faith to put in it, but it did show him up, I think, from 17 or 18% of the Democratic preference to 22 or 23, mm-hmm. which may be... Maybe it's happening.
Well, it could happen due to the fact that he's just known, too, you know.
That's right.
As the others fall off, they go back to the old reliable.
Well, I think that's clearly a factor. But I personally think that Muskie's losing some ground, and even if...
That makes it more of a horse race.
That's what we want. want. Just as long as that's he may end up being the best fellow for us to run against, yeah. But only if he goes through a bruising fight, not if he has a clean shot at it. And it's beginning to look like he.
But aren't you now convinced that Teddy is really in the wings? You, of course, haven't felt that, but I think so.
Oh, well, of course, up until 3 months ago, I was convinced he was going to be the candidate. And then I was convinced that he's dropped back out, and now I'm convinced he's kind of...
Edging back in, huh?
He's watching it. He's taken awful extreme positions to make news, which...
That's right.
A guy doesn't do unless he feels...
Even praise the trip. That's extreme.
Well, it was an eloquent... Of course, he does that, you know. If you remember when you announced your charter initiative, he was one of the strongest. Every now and then he does that to prove that he isn't just a...
That's right.
Total
he just thinks people aren't going to remember that he was this and that or the other thing.
That's right.
Probably right.
But I think Harris, by the way, Mr. President, will go into the field either later this week or early next. Talked to him yesterday and I'm trying to accelerate his schedule because I think I personally feel that the residue of excitement over your trip to China will show up in the polls. I think it's going to certainly in the positive negative it's bound to because I just it had such an incredible impact on people who weren't heretofore moved by anything you had done. This
finally got to them.
This finally got through to them. It really did. And I think it's a good time to do it in the sense that what you see on what the public sees on the Democratic side is pure politics, just every day.
Sure is, isn't it? Jesus, they just nip and scream and squeal and yeah. Huh?
Well, it's not a damn thing positive.
Yeah.
You know, it's an interesting thing to watch. I know that you feel, and correctly so, that a lot of the issues that we have staked out positions on aren't worth a damn politically.
Yeah.
But the importance of them is that it blocks out the other side. They haven't, in none of the campaign litany to date, has anything positive come up in terms of Democratic proposals. I mean, they just haven't. They've been strictly maneuvering and going for delegates and cutting at each other and fighting like hell over busing, for example.
Busing is really something.
Well, they're in trouble on that one.
Let's see, yesterday in the Senate, they turned down the softer thing, huh?
Well, they turned down the Griffin Amendment, which was the hard...
the other way around, huh?
Yes, sir. The Griffin Amendment got beaten yesterday, which passed last week by 3 votes.
By how much yesterday?
I think it was also 3 votes.
Real close.
Of course, the lovely part of it, from our standpoint, I think, yes, it was 3 votes. I'm delighted with it because had the Griffin Amendment stayed in the legislation, it would have preempted whatever you decide to announce, and would have made it more difficult for you to come forward with a legislative posture. So I'm glad, from a political standpoint, that Griffin was licked. I'm glad from a second standpoint because the votes that defeated it were the return of Muskie, Humphrey, and McGovern. And
they all voted against it?
Oh, yes. And
Humphrey did?
Yes, sir. And Mansfield called them back, as you know. They all missed the vote. All of them.
Muskie is... is he now stuck with the busing thing?
Oh, yeah. I see no way that he can get off that.
Why is he doing that? That surprises me.
Well, I don't think he... I think his constituency, his money and his concern with these caucuses around the country. You see, he's got to get that nomination. If he if he didn't have to worry about that, you can be damn sure that he would... he'd be the other way. But he's worried about what happened to him in Arizona and Iowa.
Yeah.
Where the liberals turn out for these caucuses, and that's the one...
Liberals are always going to turn out. Always the more extreme people do.
Well, of course, it's the point Scanlon makes.
Republican side, it's conservatives turn out.
Exactly. And it's the point Scanlon makes that the majority of delegates at the Democratic National Convention will be pro-busing, so that no Democratic candidate can get through there
Good
if
point.
He is anti-busing. And that, therefore, that's why Scammon was urging us to act now. He said, if you wait until after the Democratic convention, you'll find that the nominee, if he's Muskie, will swing right over and take that issue away from him. But if you nail him now and join the issue now, he's stuck with it because he's got to calculate the votes he's going to have in Miami. And under those circumstances, he can't do it. Now, Muskie,
Teddy, how's he doing on it?
Oh, Teddy is, he's like Lindsay. He's saying I favor it.
Yeah, because of the Negroes.
Sure. He has to, his constituency. And Lindsay has come out strong for it, positively. Humphrey has talked against it all over Florida. When I was down there, he was just saying it's the worst thing possible, and yet he's up here yesterday voting against the Griffin Amendment. So, from a purely political standpoint, the vote yesterday in the Senate was just marvelous from our standpoint. I think
Humphrey is really campaigning hard, isn't he?
Yes, sir. He really is. The 4 days that I was in Florida reading the Florida papers, he was getting good press in terms of activity. He was helicoptering all over the state. Muskie was getting bad press. He took a train from Jacksonville to Miami and drew very light crowds.
God damn, boy. I pity those poor guys. I've done all those things. It's awful in primary states, you know.
It's terrible.
Helicopters, small crowds.
And they're having trouble generating any enthusiasm. You know, that's the thing that's really tough on them, because there's a hell of a lot of just general apathy about the primaries this year. That's certainly true in New Hampshire. Very, very apathetic. I think a little less so in Florida because of the busing issue.
Yeah, 1968, the new primary was more interesting because of the war issue.
That's right.
And the war issue isn't that hot this year.
No. And they're really not able to make any mileage out of the war issue at all. I just think they're, as I indicated to you in that memo, I think you've diffused it. I think it's gone as far as a negative is concerned. I think our job is to turn it into a positive. Hell, here's the announcement this morning that's on television and radio that 5,000 more troops being brought home. We're below 100,000. And, you know, it's just damn hard to make people think that the offensive did not turn into...
Hasn't yet, at least.
Hasn't yet turned into a major issue, so that's
right.
It hasn't materialized, so that it's beginning to look like...
Mm.
You know, just awful hard to get people very stirred up about it. That's what McCloskey is finding out. And that's
well, I'm going to have to take off for a few days to try to get my sleep pattern back. So I think won't be in touch with you for until Monday. But
if
you get anything interesting, you pass it on to Haldeman, will you?
Well, I'll get you the unemployment statistics as soon as I have them, and we'll pass those on to Bob tonight, and I hope you do get some rest.
Only if they're good. I don't want to hear them if they're bad. We don't need them.
Okay.
I don't care. Okay.
Well,
thanks.
Have a good rest, sir.
Bye.
Thank you.